I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In 1974, Congress passed the Safe Water Drinking Act, which was landmark legislation meant to improve access to clean water. But despite the bill's lofty goals, the reality is that far too many people are still exposed to water that's not in compliance with the law. According to the National Resources Defense Council, nearly 40% of people in the United States are drinking from an unsafe water source. And while high-profile public health crises in Flint, Michigan, and Newark, New Jersey have highlighted failures in water infrastructure, at least 2 million people in the United States are living without access to any running water and toilets at all. And that's according to a new study from Dig Deep and the U.S. Water Alliance. George McGraw is the founder and CEO of DigDeep.org, and he's with me now. George, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tanzina.
So we talked to you earlier this year before you had the actual data about the scope of the problem. Your research is pretty stunning. Tell us some of the major findings there.
Well, I think we were all surprised to find that at least 2 million don't have access to running water or flush toilets in the U.S. I mean, obviously one of the most prosperous democracies on earth.
George, how is that? I'm still trying to emphasize that in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild when people think of this problem, they think of sub-Saharan Africa or Southeast Asia. But the reality is that in every state, we have families, entire communities who are hauling water every day, who can't take a shower, who can't use a toilet, who are going to neighbors' houses to do those things. We're hauling drinking water on their backs in 2019.
How did you get the data for this study? I mean, what was the methodology?
Well, it's difficult to measure this problem because the federal government isn't doing that. We used to use the census to measure access to water. In 1990, we removed some questions on wastewater. Just in 2016, we removed the question on a flush toilet. We're actually going backwards in our ability to measure this problem, a problem that literally every other country in the world measures. So we couldn't go to the federal government data. We used that data as a basis to do some analysis about who are these Americans without access to water. But then we actually had to send researchers to the field. So we picked 6 regions of the U.S. that have sort of extreme circumstances: the California Central Valley, the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas, Appalachia, the Deep South, to name a few. And our researchers lived and embedded in these communities, collected local data sets, did site visits and interviews so we could paint a picture of what this looks like.
Did you find any demographic differences in terms of who has access to water and who doesn't?
Yeah, I think this is the thing that is so surprising but also not surprising in a way. Race is the strongest predictor of whether or not you're going to have running water at home as an American in 2019. If you're Native American, you are 19 times more likely than if you're white not to have running water and sanitation in your house. If you're Black or Latinx, you're twice as likely. And the fact that those disparities still exist show us that really what we have at the heart of this problem is structural racism that has never been solved.
We hear a lot about what's happening in Flint, Michigan, mm-hmm. and in Newark, and a lot of that has to do with just the pipes, right? The pipes are old, the structure is old. How do you explain the no water or the no toilet situation?
Many of these communities were deliberately sidelined from infrastructural development that was built to serve the rest of the country. I mean, when we started investing what would be today trillions of dollars in our water infrastructure, starting with the New Deal in the 30s, that infrastructure wasn't built to serve every American. And now you have communities who have to play catch up. And the circumstances that they have to play catch up under are much more difficult. Like, it's technically difficult. It's expensive. You know, federal spending on water infrastructure has dropped off a cliff. In 1977, federal spending accounted for 63% of infrastructure. Today, it's less than 9%. And so those communities that have never had it before, it's more difficult now than ever before for them to catch up.
So I don't have this problem in New York City. These numbers are pretty stunning. Mm. What can these communities do? What are these communities doing? I mean, this feels like a basic human right.
Water access is absolutely a basic human right. You need water to do everything. One of the most beautiful things that we found in our local research by embedding these field researchers was that these communities are coming up with ingenious and creative ways to solve their own problems. You have firehouses delivering water to elderly and indigent residents. I was just visiting a food pantry in West Virginia that raised money to install solar panels that are going to pull water from the air and produce clean drinking water for an entire county. But they need to be supported with the right resources by government. They need to be supported with our attention. This is a crisis. This is an emergency happening right now.
You mentioned the census earlier, and I just want to make sure for our listeners who aren't following every twist and turn with the census, because it has been quite politicized, particularly in this cycle. How has that affected the data that's being collected? We know that Kellyanne Conway, for example, in the Trump administration has made the argument regarding the census that people care more about toilets than they do about people. The toilet question, as you said, has been discontinued. But what has the politicization of the census done to the ability that you all have to collect data?
Yeah, it's a tremendous shame to politicize something as important as the census. And Ms. Conway has been talking about, you know, we care more about toilets than about whatever. But, you know, she is mistaken. We have removed this question on toilets recently. We removed that question in the middle of a census data collection period, which means we've destroyed our ability to compare the data now to previous years. And we've lost our ability to track our progress on solving this problem at a time when, according to our research, we're going backwards in six states and in Puerto Rico, meaning next year it's likely that more people in those six states and in Puerto Rico won't have running water than they do this year. The census needs to be strengthened. We need to reintroduce the question on toilets, add questions on wastewater, on water quality, on water cost, just to ensure that more Americans don't fall into this gap.
George, I'm wondering, we've also covered a lot of natural disasters here on the show, fires, hurricanes, you know, you name it. We're now in a moment historically where these disasters are expected to get worse. Do you see that playing out in terms of access to water in any way?
In every one of the communities we surveyed, people mentioned changing weather patterns. I think this is probably most pronounced on the Navajo Nation, which was, you know, in the American Southwest. It takes up parts of Arizona and Utah and New Mexico. And there, I think more than 80% of surface water resources have disappeared in the last few decades because of climate change. And what few groundwater resources are available are contaminated with uranium from decades of uranium mining during the Cold War. And so what you're left with there are families scrambling to get by, you know, scrambling just to get enough clean water every day to survive. And most of them are doing it by hauling very expensive bottled water. Those that can't afford it are still drinking that dirty water. Now's the time we need to invest in these communities and make them more resilient to the changes that we know are coming.
You also mentioned Appalachia as a community that's been affected by this. So we're not just talking about people of color. We're also talking about poor Americans. Is that right?
Yeah. We saw that lack of water access also correlates strongly with income and with educational attainment. It's not just the color of your skin, but it's also your position in the economy and society. In Appalachia, there are many, many families who used to rely on what are called coal camp water systems, sort of simple, rudimentary water systems that were built by the coal mining operations. In one of the towns we visited, you know, the population has fallen by 80% since that coal company left. And what it left behind was a failing water system and a lot of contamination. And so now you have people on foot walking to springs on the sides of highways, collecting water in, you know, gallon milk jugs to drink during the day, water that's not safe to drink. It's making them sick. But it's the only access to water they have. This is a universal problem. I mean, yes, it does affect people of color more intensely. It does affect low-income and rural people more intensely. But it affects everyone, all 50 states. This is a big American crisis that no one's paying attention to.
United States, 2019, struggling to have water. George McGraw is the founder and CEO of DigDeep.org. George, thanks again.
Thanks, Tanzina.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.